Welcome to our Gospel Truth radio broadcast. Today on our program, you're going to hear a teaching that I am using exclusively here on radio. This isn't on my television broadcast, but this is a teaching that I did at a Gospel Truth seminar, and it's being played exclusively for our radio audience. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you, so listen, and at the end of the program, you'll hear our announcer come on and share with you about how you can receive this very teaching that you'll be listening to today. We don't have a spiritual perception. We are holding this life too dear. We are carnally minded. We aren't eternally minded. We aren't recognizing that all of us are going to die someday or another, and we're holding on to this, and we are just operating in fear because we don't know Him. Perfect love will cast out fear. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. He that fears has not been made perfect in love. If you're afraid to die, if you're afraid of losing your job, if you're afraid you're going to lose your marriage, if you're afraid you won't have the retirement, if you're afraid of things, you aren't walking in the love that God has available to us. Perfect love would cast out fear. And it ultimately goes back to our relationship with God is built around getting a need met. Or if you're spiritual, getting somebody else's need met. Going out and doing something for God. And what that does, it doesn't build a healthy relationship. You're like the teenager that comes home and wants to get your needs met, but you don't want relationships with your parents. You don't honor them. You don't love them. You don't minister to them. It's all taking. You're just like a vacuum cleaner, sucking everything out of God that you can get, but giving nothing back. That's not love. That's not relationship. Prayer ought to be primarily blessing God, loving God. That's what Adam and Eve did. Father, thank you for a beautiful sunrise. Oh God, it's a wonderful day. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for creating such a world. Thank you for your goodness. Man, we've got so much to praise God for. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, not leaving us alone. And if you were just worshiping God and praising God, you'd find out that, man, when problems come, it's just no big deal because you know God Almighty and it's no big deal. It just doesn't bother you. That usually goes over about like that. Some of you are thinking, you can't live this way. Well, don't wake me up. Like I said, it has been a decade or two decades since I've asked for anything. You know, we have to have $1.5 million a month, and I give my materials away. Go figure. I don't push and pull and manipulate people for money the way some others do. And yet I never lose sleep over finances. I don't ask God for money. Because I know that God loves me and I know that I'm doing what God told me to do. And it would be unjust on God's part to want me to pay for what He told me to do. So I just make sure that what I'm doing is what He told me to do, and then it's His fault. It's His problem. He's going to be up all night anyway. I just let Him think about it, amen, and I go to sleep. I don't even worry about it. You know, what does that amount to? I have to have $3,000 or $4,000 24 hours a day. That's a lot of money. And yet I never worry about it, and I don't ever ask God for money. And you know what? If we do get behind, if we get in a need, you can ask my staff. You know what we do? We'll give something away. Because God's Word has already taught me, and in fellowship and relationship with God, He's told me that, man, the way to increase is to give. When we get into a financial bind, I'll send you a free CD. I'll just send it to people, and I don't badger them for money. I'll just send it and bless them. And you know what? It's just like clockwork. It'll produce. You sow your seed, and it'll produce. It's simple. It's an easy way to live. I don't beg God for money. I don't beg Him for things. God has already blessed us with everything that there is. And what I'm trying to get across is that the primary use of prayer is just to love God and to bless Him. And if you would change so that you use prayer to get your needs met and to come in and just draw from God, and instead you would start giving and blessing God, I can promise you this, God will never, ever, ever let you outgive Him.
If you start blessing him, he's going to bless you. He is going to pour it on. You will have more blessing, more joy, more peace, more prosperity, more health than you have ever had coming and trying to get God to do something. The Bible says that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that all of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And yet most Christians, it's not like that. It's not like the blessings are running you down. Most Christians are coming to a meeting like this with their tongue hanging out. I came here to get a blessing. Man, you're out of breath. You've been chasing the blessing of God. And so here's another place that maybe God could bless you. Instead of you having to chase the blessings of God, they'll chase you down. They'll overtake you when you get to where you are fellowshipping with God. This is what God created you for relationship with him. Religion is, you know, we've got these songs. I don't know if y'all ever sang this, but in the church I was raised in, we used to sing this song about, I was born to serve the Lord. My eyes were made to read the word. My feet were made to walk in his way. My hands were made to help somebody else. I was born to serve the Lord. And again, there's a partial truth to that, but you know what comes across often is that God wants to use you. And the only way you can really show any love and devotion to the Lord is do something. Do something. And we put all the emphasis on doing. We are human doings instead of human beings. And in the church has taken this and amplified on it to the point that people are literally going out and offering God service and doing this and doing this and doing this, but they aren't giving God themselves. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel like, well, God doesn't want me just to say thank you and Father, I love you. He wants me to do something. I actually was at a conference one time where the speaker got up and said that the only reason you're alive on this earth is because God has something for you to do. If God just wanted to bless you, he'd take you to heaven. He left you here so you can do something. And this man made this statement. He said, the sole purpose for your existence is to touch another person's life and to lead somebody to the Lord. And I understood the point he was trying to make, and we do have a responsibility to share our faith with other people. But you know, when he said that, boy, God just spoke to me loud and clear. And he said, so what was Adam and Eve's purpose for their existence? They didn't have anybody to lead to the Lord. They didn't have any demons to cast out. They didn't have any tracts to pass out. There was nobody else to witness to. You know, if you use that logic, which is very prominent today, and some people think, I got to do something for God. No, God, please use me. Please use me. Please use me. God would rather have you than he'd rather have your service. And I'll give you a hint that if God ever gets you, he'll get your service. He'll get your pocketbook. He'll get everything. If you ever give yourself to God, then everything you are and everything that you have will follow as a byproduct. But there's a lot of people that are offering, God, I'm going to work in church, I'm going to do this, but they aren't giving God themselves. And they think that, you know, I'm praying and I'm binding and I'm praying for a revival and I'm praying for this person to receive this. And that's the way that most people relate to God. And God just wants to fellowship with you more than he wants what you can do for him. God loves you. And I know that there's many of you tonight thinking, I don't understand why God would want to hang out with me and just want to fellowship with me. I don't even like myself. But God sees you differently than you see yourself, especially if you're born again. In your spirit, you are now identical to Jesus. You have all of his power, and God wants to inhabit you and inhabit your praises. God wants to hang out with you. And this ought to be the whole purpose of our Christian life, is just to glorify God and to bless him. And that's what prayer ought to be. 90 or 95% of all prayer ought to be, Father, thank you for how much you love me. Thank you for sending Jesus. Amen. Somebody's listening to me and saying, well, I don't have much to thank God for. You know what? Spirit of slap just wants to come all over me when I hear something like that. It's a good thing I'm not God. Man. Well, you don't know my problems. Well, you don't know your God. Man, you don't understand that God came from heaven and died for you. He sent the Holy Spirit for you. God has made every provision that you ever need. Brothers and sisters, you got nothing to be complaining about. I don't care if you are 1 foot in the grave, if the creditors are after you, God loves you. Nothing else matters. Man, if I die, I'm going to go spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. If I win, I win. If I lose, I win. You ought to praise God for that. But you don't understand, I'm poor and I'm just barely getting by. Well, in heaven, you're going to live in a mansion that has streets of gold. Man, it only took the Lord 7 days to create all the heavens and the earth. And He's been in heaven preparing a place for us for 2,000 years. Amen. I guarantee you, heaven's going to be awesome. You ought to praise God. Even if you don't see prosperity here, you ought to praise God for what you've got in heaven.
Well, this person said this about me, and this person, I just got a divorce. How could I be rejoicing?
Well, praise God that in heaven there isn't marriage. Amen. They don't marry nor are given marriage. Praise God that it was only temporary. And praise God that He's never going to divorce you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You ought to be praising God. Thank you, Father, that you aren't giving me what I deserve. You could be rejoicing right in the midst of divorce. I guarantee you, I don't care what has come against you, you got a reason to be praising God. And if you would enter in and just praise God and love Him and praise God for how good it is, it could be worse. Some of you think, oh, you don't know me, it couldn't get any worse. Oh, yeah, it could. If I was God, you'd be a pile of ashes. You ought to be praising God that He's not giving you what you deserve. It could be worse. You ought to be praising God that things are as good as they are.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on a better way to pray. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Chicago Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM235 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. You can also get Andrew's book titled A Better Way to Pray for a gift of any amount when you ask for book number R321. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to take advantage of what we call the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is actually my footnotes on over 9,000 verses in the Bible. It's in a Bible program. You get three versions of the Bible with that. You get 4 Bible dictionaries and commentaries, and mine is one of them. And the reason we call it a living commentary is because as I write footnotes every month, there are updates available. We have a sample of this on our website, so I'd like to direct you to that. You could actually check it out and see, and you could sign up right online. But check out the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. So long.